Hour 2 Overdrive continues. Brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Mike Johnson coming up in a few moments. We'll get to confirm or deny a little bit later this hour. The Grappler will be stepping in studio in his suit. And we will be having GM Tuesday on this show, which might have to be something we consistently do in the future.
Pretty nice.
Right? Yeah. We play the role of a GM, either a vacancy in some sport, some town, or even someone that, you know, is already in the job. You know,
yeah, like, there's problems that need to be fixed, so how are you going to do it?
Right. And it could be any, it could be the GM of...
TFC.
Exactly. TFC, it could be a hockey team, it could be a league, I guess we could be commissioner. Like, there's a lot of different labels you can place on it.
Where are we at with TFC now that they won?
They won.
Oh, they got a big win.
Bob Bradley knows what he's doing now.
But, yeah...
Everyone loves Bob Bradley
now.
Is it
still in disarray, Bobby, or is it just quiet now?
Bobby Bradley's going to be taking a hike relatively soon.
I think it's still a mess. One win. We all have been around sports long enough to understand.
That's usually when the guy gets canned after a win. It's like, sorry, you think that's funny? Sorry, you're still gone.
Right.
Didn't Babcock win, and then Sheldon took over in Arizona?
Yeah, right? I think you're right. And it had been a bad run, and then they finally won a game.
Yeah.
And then he gets to Arizona and they lose.
Yeah.
I haven't heard Babcock's name come up a lot this week.
I heard Babcock's name pop up for the Columbus.
Yeah, I heard
rumblings in Columbus. That's all I've ever heard.
I heard Columbus, and then I thought I heard the Rangers had possibly reached out. Like, this is just all conjecture and rumors and reporting. A lot of it gets lost in the shuffle in terms of what is legitimate and what is not.
Right.
But that's it. Like, I had seen his name. Like, yes, he flamed out here. And yes, I think a large part of why he didn't get back in the game was because the Leafs were paying him so much money. Right. No one else was going to pay him that.
No.
So he wasn't going to take a pay cut to come back. And I don't blame him for that. But regardless of how you feel about him, how it went with the Leafs, the Mitch Marner meeting, you know, among other things, like serious allegations in Detroit, Johan Franzen, among others.
That's just it, man. We live in a world where guys have the power to say to the general manager, don't even think about that guy.
Right. But, man, he had a great run. He won a cup. He won gold medals.
And before it ended,
this guy was considered one of the best four or five coaches in the world.
I heard the same thing from numerous guys. One of the biggest jerks of all time, but easily the best coach they've ever had. Oh, as far as coaching hockey, the best.
Yeah.
Well, but just couldn't stop himself.
What a better market. I mean, Columbus is a quieter market. Not a lot of scribes following it. Like, it's a quieter market. I thought I saw Dregs on Twitter maybe a month ago say that, you know, if Babcock was going to come back into the league, he doesn't want to be in a massive market with a lot of coverage. Well, that Columbus fits that bill, correct?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
But that's a rebuild there.
No disrespect to Columbus.
We love them.
Nobody cares. No disrespect.
Well, I'll tell you, Bruce Cassidy got his team going. They were playing Arizona in last night.
They would have beat Arizona in January last night. The way Vegas played last night, I'm willing to put a lot of money on the line that Vegas could go back into a time warp and beat Arizona in January.
Yeah. There's no disrespect, Arizona.
I love that comment. That's the comment of the whole
life. Yeah.
Possibly my favorite post-game comment
in my career.
Like, when I've had access to a mic and the ability to play something like that, I'm sure there's been other great ones.
What is going on with your Coyotes anyway? Are they, like, staying in Arizona?
Well, they are. They're committed there for next year because they've... Bill Daly's come out and said they're playing there next year.
Right.
But they've got to sort out the rink situation.
And if they can, eventually I think they're going to move. I mean, that would be the assumption at that point, right?
But next year, they're playing there.
Yeah.
And
good for them.
Yeah. Like, teams have to get moving here.
Good for them.
Like, there's the finals will be done in the next 2 weeks, and then it's go time for revamping.
Yeah, we're already seeing that kind of stuff today. Again, we're seeing coaching hirings down in Washington. Spencer Carberry, who was up here with the Leafs, he's been hired as the head coach.
Yeah.
Andrew Burnett is back behind the bench, which I think is great to see, considering the way Florida kind of flushed him out after he stepped in a really tough spot with Quenneville. And that said, I'm sure Florida's not making apologies now. They're in a cup final, and they're quite happy with Paul Maurice.
Exactly.
But Burnett gets back behind the bench in Nashville, and that's Barry Trotz's first big move, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like, Trotz is running the program down there.
Yeah. I think Carberry, the one thing, don't you think the focus in Washington, they're almost due for a retool? The whole focus is getting Ovi his goals. But now you got Backstrom on the back nine. You know, Carlson's still a great player, but had the head injury.
Kuznetsov is
kind of maligned there. It'd be interesting to see if Washington goes right back at it to try and be a playoff team, or if they start to move some assets and the focus is just getting Ovi his goals.
They didn't have a lot of Backstrom, and that Tom Wilson not in the lineup, that's a big loss too. Like that, he didn't play a whole lot last year.
He's an attractive player for me as a general manager.
I totally agree with you. I don't think you're alone in that. I think a lot of people would be attracted to what Tom Wilson can bring to your team. Now, what that would cost is a completely different story and what you're willing to give up to get him. But I don't think the messaging can be, and I wouldn't expect it to be this blunt, but we only care about Ovechkin passing Gretzky. Right. Like, that cannot be your mission statement.
No.
Like, nothing else matters but Ovi scoring goals.
What I'm saying is if they are headed towards a retool, but Ovi's going to stay there, that will be the only focus because they won't be focused on winning if you're retooling. I think they're close. They've got some decisions to make.
Oh, yeah.
But the framework is still there. They've got a good goaltender. They got a great defenseman in Carlson. And you've got Ovi, Backstrom. Like, Kuznetsov is a guy who's, I think they've got to sort out, I believe. I'd have to look at his contract. But they might have to trade him this summer. So it'll be interesting to see what direction they head.
Okay, here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Johnny, if you were paid appropriately, would you be okay with your owner being that blunt? You're on this team simply to get that guy a goals record. Would you be cool with that?
You know what? No, I probably would not be, because I would want, you know, a long career and I want to do it my way. And, you know, not being able to coach the way you'd like or whatever system you want to play, just so that makes sure that Ovi gets his. I would not be interested in that, but I totally get it. Like, you have to take the jobs you're offered. There's only 32 of them. He wants to be a head coach in the NHL. And let's be honest, I can only imagine his interview with the owner or the GM. You would be silly not to spell out how you plan on maximizing your roster, which means maximizing Ovi, which means maximizing his goals. So in some way, you're not totally undercutting yourself by focusing on what you have to do for him specifically. But no, I don't want to be there just to, like, because I'm good at the power play. We're going to get him scoring 40, but we're going to lose 70 games a year. I don't want that. That's I'll never get to coach again. So it's a fine line to walk there. It's part of what you have to do. But if it's priority 1, 2, 3, and 4, I would be leery about that job.
Johnny, are you ready to make the assumption that Sheldon Keefe will remain the coach as the Leafs? I mean, you think of all the guys, the prospective coaches that are possibilities, and the ability for Sheldon Keefe, if he was going to be let go, to interview for some of these positions, does that bring you to the conclusion that he's going to be the coach?
So I think there's a very good chance he stays the coach, but not because they haven't let him go yet, not because it would be the right thing to let him interview for other positions. Yeah. Because
I mean, there was a coach fired yesterday.
Right. This is the NHL. We're not out here trying to make good for their next job. Like, he's going to get paid for the 2 years he's not working here. If that means we fire him on August 25th because somebody better is available, that's sort of part of the gig. It would suck for Sheldon or whoever it had happened to. But, yeah, like, you know, John Hines got fired yesterday. Like, these things happen after other jobs go. But I do think the fact that it's taking this long to find a GM makes it unlikely that maybe one of their preferred candidates would be available, as some of the guys are flying off the board now. So if you're not going to get a better coach than Sheldon, you probably shouldn't change the coach. So maybe the new GM would be enough of an impact to change the direction of the franchise in some ways. But I think the time, more so than the fact that they would owe it to him. Because if I'm running a team, if I'm a GM, or if I'm a president, well, I want to do that if it's convenient. If it's not convenient for me, then I'm sorry. You're going to get hung out to dry, and that's just unfortunate given the circumstances we're in.
Johnny, do you think if a new manager comes in and he wants a different philosophy on how he wants his team to play? So let's say he builds his roster just a little bit different, still has his either a core four or a variation of that, but says, I want to play a little bit more straight line, a little bit harder, hardened and stiffer to play against. You think Sheldon would be able to adapt to that?
I'd like to think so. Even if it's not his preferred style or what instinctively comes to him.
Right.
I'd like to think any NHL coach would be bright enough to say, okay, my roster is a bit different. And my directions are a bit different. And so I will coach a bit different. I mean, it's not like they have only one game plan that they can ever think of. They'd be able to devise different ones, even if it's not the one they would do first. So, yeah, I think he could. The hard part, though, Noodles, it would be for the players who've had Sheldon for several years and have had been told, you got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. And then next year he's like, no, we don't do anything like that again. It does ring a little hollow. You're like, wait a second. The last half decade you've been telling me to do this way, and all of a sudden you're going to get on me for making a play at the blue line. It might be a bit of a tough transition for an old coach to completely change the way he's coaching.
Johnny, with what we're seeing with Florida and Vegas, I mean, how many different ways is there really to play? You've got to have some talented people that are committed and they're willing to pay the price. Like, regardless of talented teams, we discussed Tampa earlier in the show. They wanted to play this fancy puck possession. There wasn't enough sandpaper, so they addressed that, and they were more of a hard line straight. Like, how many people that are trying to come up with these different ways, there's kind of only one way to do it. You get talented people that are really committed to doing some hard things, you're going to have success.
Yeah, I've always, Noodles, you could tell me, you know, as well, like, you know, when guys are like, well, it took me a few months to figure out and get comfortable with the system. I'm like, what system are you playing? Did Einstein devise it? Like, there's only seven ways to play hockey. It's still hockey. Then it's about executing, and it's about talent and kind of will to do it. So I'm with you. I don't know how many different ways they can play going forward for the Leafs. You know, you look at what Vegas is doing and what Florida is doing, you try to draw some sort of message or some sort of theme that you could pull from and take it. This is what teams in NHL should be doing more of. The only thing when I try to do that, the only thing I say is in the playoffs especially, to score goals, there's still an element of a physical confrontation. You know, it's kind of the nature of the sport. And occasionally it doesn't happen that way, but sort of usually that's required. Part of what makes Vegas defensive so good, they're big. Like, they're physically big people.
Yeah. And they're rangy. If you say you want to play a puck possession team, MJ, the best, I think, the best I ever played against was that Detroit team with the Russians and Shanny and LaPointe and McCarty.
Yeah.
And they had a perfect mix because they had Larionov and Fedorov, and they had the puck all night, and Stevie Y was out there. But they also had the grind line, and they would, you know, they had their physical guys. But those guys, they actually possessed the puck all night. Like, you couldn't get it off those guys. With Lidstrom dictating and controlling everything back there, that was the best possession team ever. But they also had the other stuff to throw into the mix.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And when they had to go get it back on the rare occasion when they lost it, they had guys that could go make it difficult for you to keep it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But also, like, you know, leagues are a little bit different now. So, you know, some of the strategies you can implement back there is not the same as today. But yeah, you can play a puck possession game, but you still need a little juice, a little jam when you don't have it to go get it back. Or when you have to get to the net to set up space for the guys who want it, you got to be able to get there and be willing to get there. And I think that's maybe the message I'm drawing from Florida and Vegas. Not, because, you know, Florida was 2 points away from missing the playoffs. Then what would we think? But I still think they play a physically strong game in and around the net, both on offense and on defense. That's maybe the message in the playoffs. It's still a battle to be had down in front of the net.
Yeah, it always is. You know, like, look at the goals last night. Look at the Matthew Tkachuk winners. You know, they're like on top of the crease.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it's...
Gotta go to tough areas.
Generally going to be scored. Exactly. And if... Like, you look at last night, like, that game, a lot of it was Dallas was just flat. They were terrible. They just had nothing. Like, they pushed back in game four, pushed back in game five. I thought they'd be flying last night. It was the polar opposite. But Vegas's fourth line effectively dictated who was going to a cup final.
Yeah. Like,
their fourth line, and Adin Hill didn't get tested much, but he still had a shutout. So Adin Hill in the fourth line. Like, how do you explain that? You know, but that's kind of what happened. That's what closed the deal last night.
Yeah, and that fourth line was good. And they are
so
good. You know what I mean? Like, that Carrier, I don't know.
He's really good.
Check his stats. He had 14 goals this year. Never sniffed the power play. Kolesar bombs around fast but defensively responsible. Nick Roth could play higher up. Yeah, they're That fourth line is excellent. And down the middle, like you think about Jack Eichel, you think about William Karlsson, who's been a 40-goal scorer, like a Selke, considerable guy. You got Stevenson, who's a all-star this year. And you got Nick Waugh, who's a very good player. Like, Jack Eichel might be their worst defensive centerman. They don't have to hide anything. They can play those guys, roll them over, and just like, yeah, we're good. Don't worry about any of that stuff. And that's part of what makes them good. And their coach. Like, we were talking about coaching a lot the last few days. And Bruce Cassidy is maybe a rare example, but he's an example of a coaching change. If you were to get someone of his caliber, and I'm not talking specifically about Sheldon Keith, but just about every team in the league, he makes that a team better. He comes in and they play different and they play better, more structured, more accountable, all that kind of stuff. Coaches do make a difference, and Cassidy is doing that there too.
Johnny, I want to play you something, and you just give us your thoughts on Bruce Cassidy and what he thought about his team's effort in game five. Not sure if we have it.
Yeah, we have it. Let's play it.
Okay.
We had 24 giveaways. Like, I'm not sure you're beating the Arizona Coyotes in January with 24 giveaways. No disrespect to Arizona, but it's not the right way to play. 24 giveaways. I mean, we're trying to go to the Stanley Cup final against a desperate team. We gave, you know, and so to me, that's the whole game right there. You know?
Yep, that's my favorite comment. My favorite post-game comment. And yet, he backs it up. Like you said, Bruce Cassidy had his team rocking. They absolutely would have beaten Arizona in January last night, the way they played.
They would have. But, you know, it's what's that gif where it's like, stop it, they're dead. He's dead already?
Yes.
Like, that's what it feels like for right. Arizona. Come on now. We don't need to do that anymore.
GIF, playing in Johnny, college. GIF.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate your, the kids are saying. But, like, that's kind of what it feels like. That is tough sledding for the press. Like, pick Anaheim.
Right. Pick anyone else. Shrapnel, right to Arizona.
In fact, Arizona wasn't even the worst team in the league. Like, who was worse in the league? Like, pick Columbus. Like, pick some team. But, no, it's got to be Arizona because they are the easiest target out there. That is a tough look for my former Yotes.
That's right.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Well, you know what? Play better. Play in a real rink. Win some games, make the playoffs, and no one says that about you.
Exactly. Like, as of now, it's punching down, but don't allow it to look that way, right? That's on Arizona to not be playing at a university and actually be a respectable team. And then it's punching up, possibly,
one
day.
We played that clip 500 times already.
That's the best clip. No disrespect.
I love it.
No disrespect.
Like, if you say no disrespect, you can say anything you want.
Yes.
And that's
blanche.
Totally fine.
Carte blanche. You can say anything.
The rudest, the worst thing you could say, but like I said, no disrespect. So don't take any offense. I'm like, well, no. That doesn't.
Speaking of gifts, Johnny, there's a gif of a guy saying, anytime someone says, with all due respect, there's no respect. No disrespect, they're disrespecting somebody in the next 4 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah, with all due respect means no respect is coming whatsoever.
Exactly.
So
it's a warning shot.
You're about to be insulted.
It's a warning shot. Prepare yourself because you're about to get smacked. You know, the whole rumor mill surrounding Dubas in Pittsburgh, it almost feels like a foregone conclusion he's going to take that job. Foregone conclusion, I should say. And I was thinking about it today with where that team is at, but also with everything they've accomplished. Like, they by all accounts, they don't have much of a prospect pool. They don't have many picks. They don't have any salary cap. Like, is that a job you really want? And what is it going to do for Dubas's legacy? Like, if he puts some pieces together and gets them back into playoff contention, is that a job well done? Or would you expect ownership down there to have a mandate? You got to win a Stanley Cup here the next 3 years.
Well, I mean, that would be, no, I think the mandate would be, we plan on trying to win the next 3 years. We got a few more years with these guys under contract. We probably have two or three at the most where they will still be really high-end players. So we're committed to this path, figure out how to make this team a Stanley Cup contender. And if you do, then there's your legacy. I mean, somebody asked me this last week, Hayes. It was like, well, which job would be better, Toronto or Pittsburgh? I'm like, it's not even close. It's Toronto is a better job right now. Yeah.
What's the answer to the Pittsburgh question if someone says, I want you to make these guys a contender? Mm. What if in your heart of hearts the answer is they're never going to be again? So what the hell do you come up with?
Well, that's just it, right? Because I think your head if you're being honest, we'd probably be like, the way this team is right now, their age, their contract, they're probably due for a reset. But they can't. Like, they're not going to let those guys play their last few years in a bottoming out team. So I don't know. Like, you kind of have to sell the belief that they're going to still be great. You're going to have to try to find value on the defense side of the puck. You're going to have to get some depth forwards. Now, one thing for Kyle, we'll just give him credit. Like, some of his depth forward acquisitions have been really good. Like, David Camp's been a pretty good player. Michael Bunting, been a pretty good player. Nick Ritchie, not such a good player. But, like, you know, like, he's had some good finds at the bottom part of his roster. That would be maybe part of his pitch. Like, I've done this before. I've rebuilt the bottom of a forward group without any money. I can do it here. If we do that here, we have a chance. Yeah. I don't know. Legacy-wise, his legacy is he's a good GM, and he'll get another job after Pittsburgh. He's going to make a boatload of money, and his life will likely be better, maybe, apparently. So that's his legacy. His life is good, even if he doesn't win.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, I agree. Like, the Toronto situation's better because the core four are younger. Like, I think it's almost like he's going to Pittsburgh. In Toronto, you fast forward Toronto to five years from now,
right,
and have the same cast of players, because it's Crosby, it's Malkin, it's Letang, Jeff Carter's there, who's 38. They've got Ricard Raquel. Ooh. He's got like 5 years left, I think 4 or 5 years left on his deal. Like, he's got some work, but he does have a bunch of UFAs, so he's going to have to reshape that roster, and he'll be able to do it, but... Again, it's almost like you fast forward the core that he had here in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've won there in Pittsburgh, but not under him. And they're all aging. Like, they're all 35, 36, 37.
And I don't know if them winning in the past adds pressure or alleviates it. Because, you know, I think you could look at it both ways. On one end, it's like, well, they've already got the ring, so it's all good. But also, that's what they expect.
Right.
Like, in Toronto, no one expected a cup because it doesn't happen. You know, like, it'd be great. That'd be awesome. Like, I'm sure that's the goal. But, like, in Pitt, even with them missing the playoffs, you think Sid showing up day one saying, hey, we hope we make the playoffs? Like, that's not the way he's programmed.
Yeah.
But you know where the pressure's coming from, Hayes? The Fenway Sports Group. Like, they didn't just spend $800 million on a team and have them do poorly. Like, I think we're all kind of appreciating there are two parts to being a GM. One is managing your team. Managing down to the guys on the ice and try to get that figured out.
Yeah.
The other part is managing up, whether that's into your president or into the ownership, and making sure that they're happy and somehow that their vision, it's their team, so if they're the owner, they can do whatever they want, that is also being taken care of. And I think we're sort of seeing, you know, as we hear about different things happening around the league, that is a significant part of a general manager's job. And I think that's where the pressure comes from. Obviously, Sid is going to push and to try to win a cup. But I think they just bought the team, and they're paying a premium for a team that's pretty good with the best player, one of the best players of all time, on it. I think the ownership, new ownership, would not tolerate mediocrity.
Yeah. Well, that's you.
That's what they are right now, though.
But I said this last week, Johnny, is Kyle Dubas, all he's known is this organization and the resources and the money and everything. And you talk about managing up, whether that's Shanahan or the board or whatever, and managing down to your coaching staff and your players. Not every situation is exactly like this. You're going to a different situation. There might be a single owner that represents the Fenway Group that wants to be in his office every day. Like, there might be things that hit him that is unexpected because he's never been in another situation. This is all he knows. So he might get an eye-opener going to a different organization where he goes, I'd like to do this move, and this move, and it's going to cost us a bunch of money. And they go, hold on a second here. We don't waste money here.
What do you mean you want a fourth assistant GM? What are you talking about?
Exactly. Like,
who are you? We don't have four. You get one.
Yeah.
What do you mean you want a third sports science person? And I'm not belittling the fact, listen, if you have the assets, use them. Toronto should have four assistant GMs and should have a chef and a sports science and a shake person and a diet person. Like, they should have all those things because they can afford to. But I could see just about any other team in the league, if you were to try to replicate the size and scope of the office and the person and all the different employees that work for the Toronto Maple Leafs now,
take a lot.
I don't know if any team in the league would say, oh, it's okay. I don't think anyone would say that.
No.
Well, and I don't think that's come up enough in terms of the evaluation of Dubas from an ownership's viewpoint, right? That the owners may have gone to him after 5 years and said, you have 400 people on your staff and you won one round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at what we offered you. Look what you could work with. Sure, you right. have ideas of what you'd like to do differently, and at times maybe it wasn't perfect for you. But when you, my understanding is when he went to the board or went to Shanahan and said, I'd like to bring this person in and that person in, and this one's going to get hired, and I need Spezza to step right, it was all like, go ahead,
yeah.
done. Yeah, blank check. But after 5 years, if you don't win and you leave, don't complain about it.
Right.
You know, or we push you out. Like, I, again, it's it feels like a lot of the reaction has been Dubas was you know, screwed over here, or you know, it got emotional, and it was about egos. And I can understand it if ownership said, we give you 5 years and a bigger budget than almost every team in the league combined, and you won one playoff round.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Like, and now the next guy that comes in, you get the same thing.
I tried to say that. Like, that's just the simple truth. Change is going to happen.
Right.
Like, Jesus.
Right.
But that was my point, you know, last week was, he might get an eye opener going to a different organization, where
because it's not going to be that
different
way.
Marching orders. No. That's all. Just, as far as whatever, and I don't know, and I can't define that. But it's just, a, you know, you can't go, well, we did this in Toronto. They might say, well, I'm sorry, we just don't do that here.
You ain't in Kansas anymore, my friend.
Exactly. Right. You know, type
like,
of thing.
We don't have unlimited budgets for these things, like,
right?
And I don't know Toronto, but like, what I have no idea all the different ways that you know to run a team beyond the guys on the ice. So take away. Yeah. The player's salary and even the coach's salary, which, you know, Mike Sullivan makes a lot of money, but, you know, and the staff, but like just all the different things you can spend money on. If the Leafs spend $100 million on everything else, there must be teams that spend 20.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not even exaggerating, like maybe $100 million between all the front office and the minors and the equipment and all the personnel and the travel and the better planes and the better hotels and all that stuff. Like, they are probably easily double some teams in the league, and that won't be the case, well, just about anywhere else.
No, exactly. Now, he's been, in terms of the salary cap and being up against it, he's very comfortable in that world because yeah, he's been doing it for a long time. And I think he did a good job with that.
Yep.
And I could see why Pittsburgh would be very intrigued by that idea that, like, he's found some good players along the edges.
Throw in Callie Yarncroak. That was a nice signing.
That was a really good
right?
signing.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and value and
like he did a lot of very good things here. A lot of very positive things.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the end, he's going to move on, and he likely ends up in Pitt. You know, and we'll see how it works out for him. All right, Johnny, we'll leave it there, buddy. We'll do it again later in the week.
All right, boys. Have a good week.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory. Arriving daily, it's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
Are we going to pump the Callie Yarncroak trade or transaction anymore in the future?
Sure, why not? Is that if he scores 20 again? Didn't he score 20 this year?
He made $2 million. They signed him to a four-year deal, but a $2 million player that gives you 20 goals, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Like that's
good signing.
That's like saying I had a good drive and a good hole, and then I had a good drive in the second, and then I shot 140.
Well, you do need value players. Like, that's the thing. If you are going to be top heavy, and let's say the core four come back, you need $2 million players that are better, that aren't just jersey fillers.
No,
they've got to be good players.
What did you shoot, by the way? I think I was an 89.
I beat you. Like, let's just call, like, I'm not going to be forthright about it because it doesn't matter and you picked up your ball a lot, but you got to admit, I beat you and beat you badly for the first time today. I mean, that's just a fact, Jack.
Wow.
Like, that happened.
That's a tough.
Right? Like, is it
no,
just,
no.
Well, how can you argue against it?
I technically wasn't even playing after the fourth hole.
Exactly.
Just said
DFA. You pulled a street close at Oakdale today. He was street.
Dude, I couldn't.
I was grinding. Up. I put the ball in the cup on 18, and
you looked over, and he was Anthony Davis sitting on the bench there.
Or you should have seen this guy walking around on the fourth or fifth hole. He hit two good shots, and he was just off the fairway, and he could not. He could not buy into the idea that he couldn't. He even said, "I know where the ball is."
And
he was walking in a circle like a dog at a park, and he wouldn't leave it alone. And he just wouldn't come back to the cart. And I sat there and waited for him, and he finally came back.
You had already putted out and everything.
Golf balls should have a chip in them.
Well,
have you ever seen those?
They're not going to spend it on Yahoos like us. That would be great. That would be great. But you know how much that would cost?
Track it with your phone.
And it's. They don't want to do that because then you'll never buy golf balls again, right? Golf ball companies aren't going to do that. Like, I'm sure you could create a car that never gets rusted, never has any issues, but they're not going to do that.
That's true.
Because then you're never going to come back.
Create a battery, like a phone that just never dies.
Yeah, of course they could do that, but they're not going to do that.
That's true.
All right, confirm or deny coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Confirm or deny. I can't confirm or deny, but I have to believe Fergie's been interviewed.
He might be on the docket.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe Zoom call.
Shut up. There's another one. Like Duthie's question, when you say something like, do you regret giving... When you say something like that, there's a tremendous amount of regret involved in the question.
Right. Yes. It is leading the witness a little bit. Do you regret doing
that question?
That's a tough one. And
do you regret giving all five of those guys no trades in their contracts?
I would love to know his actual real answer.
It probably was. Like, I can't confirm.
I can't. Yeah. Like, I would love to know his actual real answer to that question, because that was probably a panel question, and Duthie sitting across from him asking that question.
Probably on July 1st.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
It probably was a July 1st. Here's John Ferguson. You know, Duthie does them every single year.
The Muskoka Five.
Yeah, do you regret? Confirm or deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the 2023 IS300 all-wheel drive F-Sport Series 1. From just $298 biweekly for 24 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. All right, confirm or deny. Statements are made. Go around the table. We confirm them or we deny them. Simple as that. Confirm or deny. Nick Nurse will last longer in Philly than Joel Embiid.
I'm going to deny that. It seems like Joel Embiid is just the prince of the organization. And if he's been allowed to show up all these years and not ever be in tip-top shape, and then he throws the MVP at them and says, see, just let me do what I want, it seems like, as one of my friends says, he's the king of the county, and I don't see it changing.
Yeah, he does seem to be that way at this point, but I'm going to deny this.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm going to confirm this. I meant to say confirm. I had it worded improperly. I think Nick Nurse outlasts Embiid because Embiid is going through coaches and coaches and coaches. And I agree with what you're saying, right now. I don't dispute that. But at some point, it's going to turn on him. I think his comment at the end of the series was really, really damaging. Even though he just won the MVP and he had a remarkable season. He came out, he's like, well, it can't just be me and James.
Right.
Like, that is such a loser attitude NBA.
What if it's true?
Well, there might be an element of truth to it, but he takes no accountability. If you're the MVP in this league, you're supposed to win rounds. Like, it is supposed to be you and James. Like, if need be, it's got to be you too. Yes, there have to be other players, but it's not like they have absolutely no depth there in Philly. I think Nick Nurse is there for the long run. I think he's there for 4 or 5 years.
Can make the comment, if this is the scenario, me and James Harden were out of our mind, on top of the world good, and we couldn't get it done. We need help.
Yes, exactly.
That was not the case.
That was not the case. He was not putting up 40 and 20 every single night, and Harden was not shooting. Harden was terrible at times in that series.
I think Nurse is going to outlast him because the NBA, these stars are changing teams.
He may want out in a year or two.
Exactly. Go check, please. I want out. And if Nurse pushes him and he doesn't like it, they might make a decision, go, like, it's enough with you, mm-hmm. or puts him in a bad spot, and he says, I hate this Nick Nurse, I'm leaving.
Yes, like, there's a lot of player movement in the NBA. There's a lot of coaching turnover, too, though. Yeah. Like, the NBA is wild, man. Like, Bob Myers, the longtime GM of the Warriors, just said, I'm out of here. Check, please. It was time. That's his comment.
Is he the guy who was getting the cowbell in the
Yeah,
air?
He got cowbelled in,
Where
was that,
was
Sacramento,
that?
I think? Yeah, in Sacramento, he got cowbelled.
That's probably
what
put
him into
retirement.
Well, you see, last night, Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning were sitting in the seats. In Boston, too. Like, Pat Riley would be hated in Boston. Man, would he be hated. And he just said,
fans would let him go.
Yeah, put me in a suit, put me in the seats. That's how we operate. We referenced this earlier that on FanDuel, Vegas is a minus 140 favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Confirm or deny, Vegas should be more than a minus 140 favorite. In other words, they should be a bigger favorite to win the Stanley Cup than
absolutely
what FanDuel
not.
Has it out.
Absolutely not. I think with what Florida has done and the opponents they face, Hayes, you mentioned it off the top, they took down the King Daddy Topper. I didn't think there was a chance the Boston Bruins. I thought the Bruins were going to have a playoff run where they would set a record for, like, least amount of losses in the Stanley
Cup. 16-2 or something like that, right?
Yes! I thought that was going to happen, and the Florida Panthers took them down, and then they took down the Toronto Maple Leafs rather comfortably, and then they slapped the Carolina Hurricanes in the face. Like, give me a break, man. They're a damn good team, and they've got two X-factors in their goaltender and Matthew Tkachuk, who are out of their mind right now. And I don't know if it can be stopped, to be quite honest with you. Maybe after, I'm tired of making predictions. Maybe after a couple of games, I'll be like, because sometimes you just run into something that's too much. Mm-hmm. And that might be the case. But I got it a coin flip and almost Florida being favored for what they've done. I'm just going on track record alone and how they got to this point.
I'm at a pick'em. That's close to a pick'em, but I'm even at a pick'em.
Yeah.
Because I think it is a coin flip. Vegas, from what I saw last night, there's not much teams beaten that template.
That was outstanding last night.
But that being said, this Tkachuk, all he does is find ways. You know, Barkov with the 9 days off, that's going to help his health. The X factor is the goalie.
Bob, absolutely.
The goalie shows up. Like, this is what scares me. You're going into the finals, and you go into Vegas for those first two games, and those guys roll in, and they're all sunburnt. Like, they've all been, like, golfing and, like, beautiful weather in Florida. Like, half of them have tans anyways during the season. Now you're practicing, and you're just going and doing what you want to do. You go out on boats. You go, like, it'll take them a second to rev the engine up again.
Yes.
Now they're pros, and it's the Stanley Cup final, and they're going to embrace the atmosphere. But I don't know. I think it's a pick 'em. I really
do. Yeah. So, yeah, you're denying it. I would deny it as well. I think this is an appropriate line. I guess I could not confirm or deny. I could Fergie this.
Right.
I could Fergie this.
You're not allowed to Fergie anything.
But from that standpoint, I'll deny it because I think it's appropriate. I think Vegas should be a slight favorite because they got home ice.
Right.
You know, the better team throughout the regular season, which, again, effectively means nothing now.
Right.
But, you know, in Florida, it just feels like there's more to Florida that can burst than Vegas. And that sounds crazy considering Aiden Hill is in net.
Right.
But they just play a system and a style that has been consistent all year. Like, Florida has been so hot and cold. Bobrovsky is the definition of unpredictable, you know, the last few years of his career. So I think it's appropriate. I think Vegas should be a slight favorite, which is what they are. Confirm or deny, Bo Bichette has put his name in the best athlete in Toronto hat. Bo Bichette.
Yeah, I think he's done that. I think it the little bit of the shine comes off it when he gets on the defensive side of the baseball. But I think as far as performance, the whole look, the whole package, he is throwing himself into the mix with what? Auston Matthews.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam.
Siakam. And Vladdy.
Barnes. You know. Scotty Barnes, maybe.
Scotty, I don't think, has reached that level, though. Scotty's not at that point. You know, it's... Like, no. there's kind of levels.
Where's
like
Vladdy in all of this?
Vladdy's, again, Bichette's been better than Vladdy.
Like, I know, but
he has been flat
was
out better.
To be, you know, kind of a down year. Great first year, down year last year. You're expecting him to be.
He's not hit. He doesn't hit for power anymore. Like, he had that one big year where it was Ohtani and him for the MVP, and he hit, 46 home runs that year?
Right.
44.
And now he doesn't hit for the same amount of power. He still, you know, puts up good numbers. but not electric numbers, not MVP caliber numbers. But Bichette is doing that.
Is this hurting his contract?
I think it very well could. Because the one year, the MVP caliber year, that's an outlier. The other years are very good. He's a really good player. He's a very good player. Borderline great player. Maybe he is a great player. But he's not playing as if he's one of the three or four best players in the league.
No, he might be walking himself away from one of the monster deals, which is like 350 to 400. He might be, with his performance alone, backtracking on that type of a deal. I don't know.
He's not getting the Aaron Judge deal, put it that way. Like what Judge just got, like $40 million a year, he's not getting that. But that doesn't mean he's still not going to get maybe 300 over like 12 years or 10 years or something. But I confirm this as well. Like, you look at what Bichette's doing. I think he's leading the majors in average or top two or three, you know, leading the hits. Yeah, the wins above replacement is really high. You know, he's been in the top 10 consistently all year and even September. Remember how good he was in September last year?
Yeah.
Like, Bichette is a rock star, man. He's hitting for power. He gets on base. He plays a prominent position. He's absolutely in the running. Like, considering Matthews took a step back this year in terms of his production, Marner was great. Willie was good. It'd be interesting. We should maybe do that. Like Toronto's Mount Rushmore today. Like right now, of the current players, who would be on Toronto's Mount Rushmore?
Of the top three teams?
Yeah, then? Basically of the top three. I still think it probably is Matthews, Marner, Vladdy, and Bo. Like I think it's probably them. Manoah was pushing, but he's out of the running now.
Siakam is right there. Isn't he a second tier?
Yeah, he's probably there with like Willie and Tavares and like a healthy Springer.
That's probably those four.
It probably still is those four, and it may be for a long time, as long as they're all still in Toronto. All right, confirm or deny. Speaking of which, Masai Ujiri and Brendan Shanahan are still running the show in Toronto in 5 years.
I don't think so. That's too
false?
Long a time.
Deny.
False.
Sorry. I'm like, what?
True. 5 years is 5 years.
That would be a ridiculous.
Confirm or deny that.
We would never do something so stupid as true or false.
That
lacks creativity.
I got to be honest. Those are two kind of person. I don't even know if they would want to be here in five more years.
They've been here for a long time already.
Right, and you tack on another five. I think they both would have ambitions of doing something else within each respective sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm completely denying that.
Yeah, I'll deny it because all you need is one guy not to be here.
Right.
Like there's a chance one of them is here, but the idea that both of them are here after five more seasons. That would be such a long, long run for both guys. And you know, both guys have had great careers. Both guys are well-respected throughout their sport. Other opportunities pop up. Like, Shanahan's from here. Masai is not. Like, Masai, he's got roots here, clearly. But Masai may think, you know, someday I do want to go to New York or I do want to go to L.A. Washington always pops up. Maybe Golden State, you know, is something he'd want to look at. Who knows?
That's true. Yeah, I'm denying it.
But... okay, we'll save a couple of confirm or denies for after dark. All right. We got a few still in the chamber, at least one more in the chamber. We'll save it for after dark. We're going to get the Grappler in here. Grappler's going to do a couple of things for us. He will play the role of Brendan Shanahan. We'll go around the table, some Q&A in terms of maybe what we would do if we were in the GM office, because we thought about that the other day.
Yeah. Is anyone going to grade us on who they think is winning?
Can do that. Yeah, I think JP's capable of doing that.
So at the very end, JP, you have to select the new GM of the Leafs.
Yes, based on only the three of us being in the running. And the Grappler will have your answer, the answer you're looking for, how John Ferguson Jr. responded to, ever regret? Yeah, he's got the transcript. So we don't actually have like the audio, but he'll play the role of Fergie as well and answer that question.
All right.
Okay, so that's coming up. Darren Pang still to come as well. Jays Brewers tonight. We'll get into that later this afternoon. FanDuel best bets still to come as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Darren Pang still to come. Jays Brewers tonight. Yusei Kikuchi on the mound. Beautiful night too, man. Like the definition of a dome open. And they're back home, coming off 2 of 3 in Minnesota. And you know, they got to get cooking here. They got. To get cooking.
Got to start climbing the standings a little bit.
And Milwaukee's a good team, too. Like, Milwaukee's above 500. They're going to miss. Corbin Burns is not going to pitch during this series, so that's a dodge bullet if you're the Jays. But, you know, we'll see what they got. Manoah's on the mound tomorrow. Like, I feel like that's a huge – I know it's a huge topic tomorrow.
Big time.
And it will be a massive topic on Thursday, regardless of how he pitches, but especially if he pitches poorly. Like this, every time he gets out, it's like, is this the last time?
Yeah.
Are they going to adjust this time? Like, you keep waiting for the Jays to possibly do something and react to the way Manoah continues to perform.
Well, if he's a gas can tomorrow, they might have to.
I mean, I thought that the last start. I thought it was kind of time to skip a start, find something there where you shut him down, because it's really, the statistics are so ugly for him, and he knows that, and, you know, yet we'll see what he's got tomorrow. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the RBC Canadian Open in the final hour.
Ooh.
And we're going to be down there, right?
Yep.
So if you're down there and you got the tickets, come say hi. We're going to be there all week. It's going to be great.
Love it.
And
Around the Green Guy. Maybe we're going to give Around the Green Guy tickets.
Yes. Imagine we are responsible for sending Around the Green Guy.
I can't do it.
I'd
if
be
that
mortified.
Guy shows up again, there's no way he tracks us down, that guy.
100% he's showing up.
Around the Green Guy last year was such a chaotic mess. 15 at St. George's. I'll never forget it. Him. It's just sickening what I was witnessing.
Squawking.
Little short there, pal.
Yeah.
Great putt. Oh, that one braces.
Oh,
it was braces. Insane.
Yeah. Oh, it hit off this. No, just kidding. Like, he literally said that to a pro. He said that to a pro. He goes, oh, you hit the rope when you came up here. And the guy goes, seriously? He goes, no, just kidding. I thought the pro was honestly going to choke the guy out or have security called over to have him removed.
He said that to one of the touring pros.
One of the tour pros. And the tour pro came, was like, oh, really? Sorry about that. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
Around the Green Guy at 15 green at St. G's. If that guy shows up at Oakdale, we got a scene on our hands.
Yeah.
So ticket giveaway in the final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit TSN.ca/TSN Plus to learn more.